Hello and welcome to episode 101 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tink.
This week, we're talking about time spent online as a commodity, workflows with Derek, an app for apologizing, and wretched.org. Without further ado, let's get started.
Last week in our recap episode, which was also meant to be a little bit of a looking forward and talking about new topics episode, Derek brought up the ongoing thread of iPhone or smartphone interaction and what impact, I think was the word Tank used, that was nice and general that Ben was a fan of, what impact that has on us. And whether or not it's a positive thing or a negative thing or a neutral thing. And without going into all that, it was Derek was saying that he thought that was kind of an interesting thing that has been recurring for us. And we also touched on the movie In Time. Tank made a comment about, or no, someone made a comment, might have been Derek actually, about if you could lend me some time so that I could go and start some other podcasts, that'd be really good. And then I came across an article during this week and with sort of both of those things from last week floating around in my head. And it's about some new startups that are essentially wanting to buy time off of consumers. So I guess traditional advertising, we've talked about like ad blockers and stuff before. Traditional advertising kind of works on, they gather some data from you and then they, platforms gather data on you and then they push ads to you that they think will suit you. And people pay for those ads, pay the platform. And so the platforms get lots of money from ads and the user just has to look at ads. And there's no real direct benefit unless you see an ad that's actually relevant. So this is kind of trying, I guess, to put some benefit back in the user's end of the equation. It's a TechCrunch article. I thought that the intro was kind of funny, so I'm going to, semi-amusing. So I'm going to read that and then we'll talk about it a little bit. It says, the debate about the effects social networks like Facebook and Twitter have on us as human beings goes on. Indeed, just this week, Facebook co-founder Sean Parker said the thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them, was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? God only knows what it's doing to our children's brains. Thanks for that, Sean. And so then it goes on and talks about, what if we as users got paid for our attention in cryptocurrency of some kind? And there's a couple of companies that are doing this. One is the Brave browser I don't use it and I don't know heaps about it, but created by a guy who used to run Mozilla. And I think before that was involved with Netscape as well. And so they've got a token called the Basic Attention Token, where they basically anonymously monitor traffic on websites and work out what people are spending time on. And then there's a couple of flows. So users get paid for promoting content by the publisher, or they can be given access to exclusive content. And publishers obviously get paid for having ads. There's a video you can watch and it kind of shows this diagram where everyone's getting paid and the user isn't just kind of left out of the loop at the bottom. And then My Time is a new one, which does a similar thing where they're kind of working out what you spend your time on and they're rewarding you for being an engaged content, consumer, I suppose. So I guess taking like a Christian viewpoint on this and looking at like Derek's ongoing theme that he was talking about last week, I don't think this is like essentially bad or essentially good. Like I don't have a particular like, oh, we need to be careful of this or anything, because in a way, work is selling our time already, if you know what I mean. Like when you go to a job for 8 hours a day, that's your time and your skills that your employer is paying for. But I think it's interesting, this concept of realizing that just advertising at people and sending things out in front of people's faces that aren't necessarily relevant to them might not be the best way of doing business. There's also a thing called malvertising, which from what I understand is just like completely spammy ads that are completely unrelated. And so that, I guess, becomes like are they doing the right thing? Are the publishers doing the right thing by their consumers to have these things in front of them? It gets a little bit hazy when you get into the cryptocurrency stuff, because I'm pretty skeptical still of things like Bitcoin. I don't know heaps about it. So I thought if any of you guys can kind of share your thoughts on that side of it with me and whether or not that's likely to actually be a beneficial thing to users. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think of this idea, of this concept of rewarding users for time spent online?
I have a question. I don't understand how this business model is sustainable. First off, and maybe I'm probably just missing something. It seems to me that this is, so ads are still in the picture, right?
Yes.
So you're basically paying users to look at your stuff so that they view ads, so that the ad people pay the website, right? Is this generally right? Something like that?
I think so. That at least with the basic attention token, because the basic attention token from the Mozilla guy, ex-Mozilla guy, is website related. So yes, there's ads on websites. They sort of said publishers pay users for attention. Publishers get money from advertisers. Users can then donate back to publishers or pay for extra content if they want to. Or if they want to, you know, if they want to see more content, they can donate to that publisher or whatever. So that's kind of the three-way model that they're using to spread money around.
Interesting. But
then MyTime is a little bit different, because the MyTime examples they give are things like, it says, firstly, it validates user time spent. Secondly, it protects the platform from abuse. The whole system operates on two parallel blockchains, one to confirm the elapsed service time, which cannot exceed 24 hours a day. And automatically prevents users from logging the same time period for more than one service. The second one records the participating company's reward dispensation. But they're talking about things like every minute spent in a video game or reading a newspaper website or a taxi passenger getting tokens for using a taxi. So they're not just talking about browsing websites that already have ads on them. They're talking about other activities like gaming and getting paid by the publisher for playing the game, for the number of minutes you spend playing their game.
Okay, that's really strange and interesting, and I'm going to need to think about this further to figure this out. Right now, it seems like a huge Ponzi scheme, but I'm sure this makes sense somewhere. So
like Bitcoin, then?
The thing about this, in my opinion, it seems like that consumers already get paid for spending their time on a website by just consuming the content that they want to create, that they want to consume. Like,
yeah,
seems like true. A pretty good return for getting that content for free. It's a really interesting marketing scheme.
This reminds me of the episode in which we talked about Netflix thinking that their biggest competitor was sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And just the idea of how we use our time and what takes up the most of it. I am also now lost in the interwebs trying to understand what a blockchain is.
something cryptocurrency.
Also, what is cryptocurrency? I'm looking that up as well.
I actually had to Google what is cryptocurrency before I started the episode to just try and quickly get my head around it in 5 minutes, which is not easy to do, to be honest.
It's black magic in digital form.
Yeah, lots of smoke and mirrors from what I can tell.
Yeah, I did read another article this week that said that a woman, like a stay-at-home mum close to where I work, had earned $2.5 million in Bitcoin in the last 6 months or something like this. And I'm the kind of person that goes, I love technology. I love hearing about new inventions and things that are improving people's lives. But if there's something like, particularly to do with money, like directly to do with money, and it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. There's probably a catch, and something like that is probably a pyramid scheme of some kind. So I'm still pretty skeptical about the cryptocurrency side of things. I just thought I'm more interested in the idea of monetarily rewarding people for online content consumption time, I guess, is kind of an interesting thing to me.
Yeah.
But like Derek said, you're already being rewarded with content that you want to see. So maybe that's enough.
Do you remember a long time ago, I talked about Bing rewards? I think that's maybe kind of a similar idea. I don't know. Like the rest of us, I don't fully understand the details on this. But yeah, Bing rewards, you would just use their search engine. And since Google, you got paid better in the idea of content consumption, they had to up the giving. So whenever you browse, they would give you points, which you could in turn, every point was basically worth a penny on Amazon. So mm-hmm. every two searches, you got 1 point, and then you could do like some random surveys to get points if you wanted to.
I guess the difference there is that's like compensation for having to use a terrible search engine rather than reward for doing something positive.
Okay. All right. I got this. It's basically just a rewards program, like shopping at your grocery store. Like you have a card that you scan every time, you can get some discount, and then after a while you build up enough points to be able to. This is what this is, I think. Does that make sense?
It feels more like that to me. At first, yeah. I thought the advertisers were paying you. But yeah, whenever it turned out that it's the platform paying you, it sounds more like Bing Rewards to me. Or mm-hmm. Swag Bucks, if anybody's ever used that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think from the basic attention token video that I watched, which is only a 3-minute like overview, I'm pretty sure there was no money going directly from advertisers to users. It was platform to users and whatever. So anyway, interesting. Probably a topic that will keep sort of bubbling away below the surface, and we may never come back to it, but I kind of stumbled across it and thought, I don't know much about that, but it sounds strange and like it could be good or it could be a pyramid scheme. I don't know.
They desperately need to hire some marketers to put this all into layman's terms so that people will use it.
Yeah, well, they've got a 4-quarter plan for this year, like a 1-year plan of launching the startup, and the 4th quarter is all about marketing. So let's see what happens in the next 3 months, I guess. 2 months.
I have been having fun playing Programmer the past couple of weeks.
I'll be the judge of that, sir.
Yeah, Ben and Tank, do you feel completely devalued when he says playing Programmer?
Honestly, a little bit. Just a little bit.
I get excited.
Ouch.
I'm like, yay, another programmer in the world.
Well, thank you, Tank. Thank you, Tank.
No problem. Yeah, my support.
I've always heard that programmers shouldn't call ourselves engineers because it devalues, you know, real engineers.
Real engineers.
And now I think I know what they feel like when Derek says playing programmer.
So anyway, so I've been playing with Workflow, which is an app on iOS. The past couple of weeks, I've been trying to do is set up an automatic job logging spreadsheet, basically, for my job. So I'm a foreman on a crew. I need to collect hours from everyone every day and put it in for install hours and drive time. So what I used to accomplish this was a combination of Workflow on iOS and IFTTT. And IFTTTTTTT.
And there's three T's. Three T's.
Part of playing programmer, Derek, is learning the acronyms.
And all this. IFTTTT. And this was spurred by someone was asking about good workflows or IFTTTs in the Slack a few weeks ago, and I was like, you know what, I should dig that out again for this purpose. Part of the reason I'm doing this is because Google Drive is really slow on an iPhone 5S running iOS 11, which is what I'm stuck with for my job. So I want to be able to do this fast. So what I've done is I have a text file in iCloud Drive, okay? And in this text file are job hours. I can have a workflow append, prepend, or postpend, you know, job hours. So I have a workflow for that. So I can quickly just add another job and then have other workflows for adding job hours or job delay reports to suck that in, split it up into a list, and have me choose from which job I want. And all this is in there. I'm not going to go into all of the nitty gritty because everyone will fall asleep.
Is it more confusing than blockchains and cryptocurrency?
It is not more confusing than blockchains and cryptocurrency. Okay. So I have this set up to be able to calculate hours if I put in, okay, I have this many people and they all had the same hours, you know, simple math there. And then just add it to a spreadsheet in Google Drive, just keep appending and appending and appending every day that I do it. So it was a lot of fun. I'm really proud of it because this is about as programmery as I've gotten.
Nice.
So if you want to check those out, if you're looking for inspiration, I don't know how inspiring it'll be, but you can, they'll be in the show notes and you can get the links to both the workflows and the if this then that. So, and to be clear, the if this then that one does the actual spreadsheet editing. The workflow just tells if this then that what to actually put in the spreadsheet. So it's kind of a two-step mambo. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. It's been quite fun.
When, like, with workflows, Derek, that's like using the workflow app, is that what you mean? Like, yeah. So this is something you can import into that and then use a simple command to achieve a more complex task.
Exactly. Yep. So it will ask me for all the data I need, or for all the data it needs, and then it compiles it and does the stuff that is very slow for me to do. So yeah, it's very handy. Check it out. And this concludes this edition of Workflows with Derek. Our sponsor this week is Valley Vintage Shop, where you can get well-priced homemade household products like soap, beard products, and more. Even if you don't think you need beard oil or balm, as a bearded fellow, you probably do. It really makes beard maintenance easy. Beard oil makes your beard nice and soft, and if you have an especially rambunctious beard, like my beard tends to be sometimes, the balm tames those wild hairs and makes everything very clean and tidy. Valley Vintage also has mustache wax and combs, so they've got just about everything for the fellow starting a proper facial hair collection. They've got a bunch of different scents too, including unscented options if scents bother you. And for those of you not into beards but just like good soap and other such things, Valley Vintage has handmade soaps, lip balm, hair balm, and room and body sprays. Valley Vintage was born out of a family's need for good all-natural soap and hair products, so everything they make is all-natural. To get some to try for yourself, head over to valleyvintageshop.com and get 10% off your order with our promo code TECH. And thank you to Valley Vintage for sponsoring Tech Reformation this week.
So there's a new app going to be released soon. It's called Sorry. And I think I first just wanted to tell you like about what it does. Then we can talk about it. So I think there's like two problems it's trying to solve. And so the first problem, you know, when a celebrity does something really stupid, whatever the case may be, the article gives the
example. Wait, can you give us an example?
The article in question, I guess, gives the example of when that person held up like a severed head of Donald Trump.
Oh, like everyone Kathy
thought,
Gifford.
Yeah, everyone thought that was terrible. But you know, the problem for the celebrity is like, man, where do I have to apologize in all these different places? And then, of course, for the users, they have to go to all these different Twitter, Facebook, all these places and say like, oh, that was a great apology. I forgive her. Or, oh, that was terrible. She didn't care. you know, and then the other one, whenever you mess up, you got to decide, okay, I have my friends. Should I apologize on Facebook? Should I apologize on Twitter? And then whenever you do, choose a route. Maybe they don't even respond. You don't know. Did they accept my apology? Did they reject my apology? So all these huge problems now that we're in the internet age. And so Sorry is an app that is for apologizing. So celebrities can go on there and publicly post their apologies. And, you know, the mob justice system that we've set up can all accept or reject. And there can be a clear voting amount. And then, of course, not just celebrities, we can apologize to each other individually, more private. I'm sure you can apologize to groups, of course. And then same system, they can accept or reject your apology. And so this apparently will be free on November 14th, so 3 days. I've got a few things that I need to apologize for. Yeah, I'm being a jerk to Michelle recently just to add up a little bit more to be able to use this. We're really excited for it. So.
Good grief. No wonder it's free. No one's going to pay for that. Seriously.
Yeah. So what are you guys' thoughts on this? Are you as excited as I am for it?
My favorite part of the pitch is this sentence. We have done research and people apologize on social media more than 475,000 times a day. And just Google the words sorry, apologizes, and apology and see that celebrities out there and the corporations and even nations apologizing. This is hardcore consumer demand right here for this app.
On a slightly serious note, if I can get at all serious about such a ridiculous idea, and I guess I've told Tank what I think of it. So, Tank, if you're actually really excited...
I'm not excited.
I'm sorry. See what I did there?
Hey, I accept it.
No. But you got to wait 4 days until you use the app to do that.
Go.
I think there's an interesting sort of cultural thing here about the idea of accepting an apology. Like, I know growing up with two sisters, we'd fight and at times, and then my parents would make us apologize. And half the time we just kind of apologize because we had to, and we didn't really mean it and stuff because we were bratty little kids. We were just kids, you know. But I kind of feel like, you know, now as an adult, if I apologize to someone, I'm apologizing to them because I feel there's a need to apologize. And so this idea of like, has that person accepted my apology or not? Like if it's gone in their ear holes and I have been genuine about making the time to do it and doing it in a way that is honoring to them and appropriate, then whether or not they choose to accept it is completely in their court. And shouldn't actually have any effect on it's almost like if I've wronged them, then I should apologize. That's the polite thing and the correct thing to do. But if they choose not to accept that apology, what bearing should that have on me? Do you know what I mean? I actually think there's little bearing then, little responsibility for me to then have to try and up the ante on my apology, unless it's been, you know, fake or, you know, whatever. I just think this idea that everyone has to be accepting of everything all the time, everything has to be validated by someone else for it to be valid. Do you know what I mean? Like that, I guess that's what you're saying about like the mob mentality of we can all vote about whether so-and-so's apology to so-and-so was good enough. It's kind of sad that is the way it is, that people kind of think that things have to be kind of, publicly accepted and validated before they can actually be considered legit, even if the person who was involved directly was actually legit in the first place. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just a strange world we live in, I guess.
Yeah, this is a classic internetization of apologizing. It is very much the social media version of this. I feel like we've talked about it before, that social media is kind of like, it isn't the relationship, it's kind of an extension of the relationship, or like a step removed from the relationship, so that the relationship can get back together faster than, you know, next time that you get together, so you don't have to catch up on, oh, how old are your kids now? No, I just read about that on Facebook. So you can have like a base level, you can get to know of each other before there is very good connection that happens on social media, but typically it's a little bit more removed. Apologizing is a deeply relational, and it sounds weird to say it, but like it's a very intimate thing between people. Like you can apologize to someone and not mean it, and feel that like there's a disconnectedness there. But you really need to connect as people. You need to humble yourself before someone to really properly apologize, to be sorry. It's a repentance. And doing that in text does not have that same kind of... It's a lot harder to get that. I mean, I can definitely see...
Obviously, it depends on the issue though, right? Like, yeah, I'm sorry to my wife that I forgot to pick up milk on the way home is different from... I'm sorry I stole your car and slammed it into a mm-hmm. pole or something. Do you know? Like,
yeah.
Some things require sort of definite in-person and others are lower key. But yeah,
exactly.
Continue.
Yeah.
What category would you put, I took a picture of a severed head that looks like the president?
Yeah, that's in the more serious category, I'm afraid. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I'm honestly just sitting here on the edge of my seat. I am so excited for when this app comes out to see if Tank is going to accept or reject Craig's apology.
What am I apologizing for? Yep.
You said you were going to apologize, and you can't do that until this app comes out.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But my question is, if Tank rejects it, what am I supposed to do after that? Is there a button that I press that says apologize again better?
Well,
like, how do you...
Well, we better hope you accept the apology, or one of us might be off this podcast.
Whoa.
I don't know if I can keep talking to you after that.
Oh, my goodness.
In all seriousness, though, I was trying to figure out if a postmodern, anti-truth, relativistic culture can make sense of apologies at all.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, if nothing's right or wrong, then what would you apologize for? And if you are apologizing for something, aren't you admitting that something you did was wrong? So.
Yes.
Yes. Dropping that, that pre-sup bomb right there.
Well, just something I'm thinking about.
When I was thinking about this app, I was thinking that, yeah, many of us would never use this to apologize, especially in a serious situation. And I wanted to share what it did make me think of. Michelle and I, from reading this article, Michelle and I were started talking about apologies, and we were reminded of something we were taught during our premarital counseling on just how to resolve conflict when one of us messes up. And it kind of gave us a good few steps that I thought I'd share briefly. And so the first one is to, when you're apologizing, to state what you're apologizing for, so that you make sure that you're actually sorry for what the person is upset about. And so afterwards you can say, like, that's what you're upset. That's what I need to apologize for, right? And if not, then you need to keep discussing. And then second, you say the words, I'm sorry. And the other person hopefully says, I forgive you. And if not, again, may need to take some time to pray and wait, as Craig was sharing. And then thirdly, discuss, like, how can we avoid this problem in the future? You know, instead of just leaving it at that, like, hey, what are some action steps to help not do this again? And then finally, pray together, as we know sin is against God, and God promises that through his son Jesus that we can receive forgiveness because of Jesus's righteousness. And so because we first and foremost sinned against God when we sinned against each other, that we also need to seek forgiveness from him and then also seek his guidance and help in fighting the problem in the future. So yeah, we've always had that in mind. And so for whenever we have conflict, and I think it applies to any apology, with not just in a marriage relationship. And so thought I'd share that. And in case you wanted to use it too. But worst case, the app's there too for you to try out as well. You can see which one tends to work better for your relationships.
I wanted to sort of a glorified recommendation, but I also have a story for why I'm doing this. The reco is wretched.org. So you can go over to wretched.org right now. And as of a couple of weeks ago, all of their Wretched TV and Wretched Radio and all their content is online available for free to everybody. So this is a ministry of Todd Friel, who is a disciple of Ray Comfort. So think of the Way of the Master style of evangelism, street evangelism, just walking people through the law to see their need for Jesus Christ as Savior. The fact that God is holy and has a standard that we've fallen short of, but that Jesus has kept the law perfectly in our place and died in the place of sinners that we might be able to be reconciled to God. So Ray and Todd sort of popularized that style of evangelism. And years ago, I used to listen to Wretched TV or watch Wretched TV, but I never could listen to the radio show because for a long time it was behind a somewhat expensive paywall. Mm-hmm. And now they've just recently decided to transition to a totally donor-supported model. And so you can go get all their stuff free and you can help support them by becoming a donor, either a regular donor or a one-time gift. And so go over to wretched.org, check out their stuff. It is awesome and it has blessed me a lot. And I'll give the specific story here in a second. But first, I wanted to hear what you guys think of Wretched. Have you heard of it? And do you have any exposure to it? And what are your thoughts?
I have watched it a few times. I watched a few episodes and what I have watched, I think I've always agreed with. Like, I generally like the content. I made a comment earlier, which was that off air, which was that there's just something about Todd Friel that I don't know if I like it. It just in terms of his presentation style, I don't know him as a person. He seems like he'd be a nice guy, but he comes across as like 80% cartoon character and 20% serious, but what he's saying is meant to be really serious. And so I'd sort of sometimes struggle to take seriously his content because his presentation is kind of amusing. But then again, that I don't know him. Maybe that's just his persona, and in which case, that's cool. It works for him, I guess. He's engaging to watch, that's for sure. So, but yeah, content-wise, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, this is what I loved about Todd Friel the very first time I saw him on YouTube was, hey, this is like a charismatic guy who knows his theology, who is very clearly sharing the gospel in the one clip that I saw, like the distinction between law and gospel, and like this is an amazing, like, charismatic talk show host, essentially, which is great. And then so I watched a bunch of his videos, and I really appreciate them. Not everything I agree with him on, but that's always the case in theology. So highly recommend it. I didn't listen to the radio show again because it was a little bit expensive and I did not have monies. So it's great that I'm a huge fan that it's all free now. Definitely listen to it if you have the time.
You can find hours, potentially days of content on YouTube for free as well, or you used to be able to find this of Todd sharing the gospel with people. And it's just something that I love to do because he clearly has such a heart for the lost, and
yes,
he's very clear on what the gospel is, and I think does so with a certain graciousness about him. I will say, Craig, with regard to what you said, that is, I know his sort of TV radio personality style of hosting, if you're not used to it, and even if you just in general, it doesn't kind of sit well with you. I know other people who have thought the same thing. It is definitely a very unique style. The thing I love about it is it's very clear. His presentation on very difficult issues, it's easy to understand, practical, accessible, and easily reproducible. And that's the reason I listen to it. So one of the recent episodes of the radio show, which is on podcast now as well, was November 1st. So just a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago, the November 1st episode, he did. So every Wednesday on the radio show, he does Witness Wednesday, where they just get people on the phone from university campuses where they have folks walking around asking people if they want to be on the radio. Hmm. And then they just share the gospel with them and just dialogue with them a little bit. And so it's really encouraging to listen to. But one particular Witness Wednesday on November 1st, they did sort of a introduction for folks to this whole idea of Witness Wednesday, and just the idea of evangelizing in this particular way with using the law. I found it to be a really helpful episode, just very practical, what to say, what not to say, just down to that level of practical stuff. The reason it's incredibly relevant for me personally is a group of guys I've been meeting with and trying to disciple have been starting to go out together and do evangelism at a awesome local university here. And so we've been talking a lot about what is the gospel, what's the best way to present it, and then going out and doing that with people. And so we all listened to that particular episode and found it to be incredibly helpful. And so I would heartily recommend the November 1st episode of Wretched Radio. If you would like to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack workspace. Sign up for free at slack.techreformation.com.
And you can connect with us on Twitter as well. Just hit that follow button at Tech Reformation, and you'll get episode notifications, and we'll talk back at you if you talk at us, and it'll be a good time. We get to chatting.
You can also go to our website, techreformation.com, and check out all of our backlog with episode titles and episode descriptions so you can see which ones you want to see.
We're still having people tell us what their favorite episode has been in the Slack, and I am really loving it because everyone has such a different answer. But I'd love to hear more from you listeners about what you like and why, so that we can try to better serve you as you continue to listen to us. And we thank you very much for doing so. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no. I ain't looking back. No, no. The only thing that's massively decepting about this particular TechCrunch article is that the iPhone X in the picture doesn't have a notch in the top of the screen.
No, and this isn't even TechCrunch's fault. This is MyTime's fault, because I've been browsing their website and it's all iPhone X with no notch. This is the important thing that we need to bring away from this story.
All right. I'm glad I could give you a completely unrelated story so that you could get to that point.
I'm sorry. No,
no, it's fine.
I do want to look into this further, and I'm sorry to our listeners for being very ignorant of what is actually going on, but it is an interesting topic. And I want
to. I'm not sorry. You call in and explain blockchains and cryptocurrency to me.
We can't be experts on everything, people. It's just not possible.